This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. I'm Kate Snow in for Lester tonight. There's growing outrage tonight after new details emerged regarding two separate police shootings in this country. One, the recent case that has prompted protests in Sacramento. The other, the death of Alton Sterling outside a convenience store in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, back in 2016. For nearly 2 years now, Sterling's family has been demanding to see surveillance video of what happened. Late today, Baton Rouge police released it. We'll have more on that in just a moment, but we begin with new information about the death of Stephon Clark in Sacramento last week. An autopsy ordered by his family shows he was shot multiple times in his grandmother's backyard. Joe Fryer is in Sacramento with more.
Hey, show me your hands!
When two Sacramento police officers confronted Stephon Clark in his grandparents' backyard,
show me your hands! Good, good, good!
They fired 20 shots. Today, the doctor commissioned by Clark's family to perform a private autopsy said the young man was hit 8 times, all from behind or the side.
You could reasonably conclude that he received 7 gunshot wounds from his back.
The autopsy was performed by Dr. Bennett Amalu, who's credited with discovering the brain disease CTE. Amalu believes Clark was facing his grandparents' house when he was shot, hit first from the left side near his armpit, spinning him around before he was shot 6 more times from behind. Amalu says Clark, who did not immediately receive medical treatment, died 3 to 10 minutes later.
My heart is heavy and I'm hurting.
Basically, Stephon Clark was murdered for what would have been a misdemeanor.
Police were responding to reports a vandal was breaking car windows when they encountered Clark. The officers said they thought he had a gun, but after firing discovered it was actually a cell phone.
He came up and then he kind of approached us, hands out, and then fell down.
The findings of his autopsy contradict many of the narratives that the Sacramento police put forward.
The county also conducted an autopsy, but that report won't be released to the public until this case is over. Sacramento police say it's inappropriate to comment until the official report is released. Meanwhile, another protest is scheduled for tonight. Kate.
Joe Fryer in Sacramento tonight. Joe, thank you. And now to that other shooting making headlines. Late today, police in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, released surveillance tape of the deadly encounter with Alton Sterling, a 37-year-old black man, and announced disciplinary action against the two white police officers who shot and killed him. And we want to warn you, the video is disturbing. Gabe Gutierrez is in Baton Rouge tonight.
The newly released videos show the moments leading up to the deadly encounter for the first time publicly. This body camera footage shows officers Blaine Salamone and Howie Lake responding to a 911 call in 2016.
An individual of this triple head, he sent a CD and got the 9mm or whatever in his pocket.
A man claiming that Alton Sterling, who was selling CDs outside this Baton Rouge convenience store, threatened him with a gun. The officers confront Sterling, and the encounter escalates quickly. Previously released cell phone video from a bystander showed part of the struggle, but this surveillance video from the store shows the moments before and after, as Officer Salamone yells at Sterling.
What do you see in this video?
A black man being murdered.
Attorney L. Chris Stewart represents some of Sterling's family members.
I don't care if you're black, white, Hispanic, Asian, you have to know and see for yourself that this is wrong.
The officers claim they thought Sterling had been reaching for a gun in his pocket. On Tuesday, Louisiana's attorney general concluded the shooting was justified and that Sterling's blood tested positive for several drugs, including cocaine. And last year, the Justice Department decided against bringing federal civil rights charges.
These actions were not minor deviations from policy, as they contributed to the outcome that resulted in the death of another human being.
The two officers had been on paid leave since the shooting. Late today, the police chief here announced that Officer Salamone had just been fired. Officer Lake will serve a 3-day suspension. Salamone's attorney plans to appeal. Kate.
Gabe Gutierrez, thank you. There are calls tonight for another member of President Trump's cabinet to step down. EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt faces new ethics questions over who he paid for a room he rented in Washington. We get more from White House correspondent Kristen Welker.
Tonight, growing concern inside the White House, stemming from what appeared to be an unusual living arrangement. EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt reportedly paid $50 a night to live in a Washington apartment partially owned by the wife of a top energy lobbyist last year, under terms that allowed him to pay only for the nights he stayed there instead of a monthly rent. And late this afternoon, another revelation. According to ABC News, last year, Pruitt's security detail broke down the glass panel front door of that condo when the administrator was not reachable. Earlier this year, Pruitt came under fire for flying first class on official business with his staff, a move he defended.
I don't make any of those decisions. They place me on the plane where they think is best from a safety perspective.
Now, Democrats are pouncing.
If Scott Pruitt doesn't resign, then President Trump should fire him. This is not good for citizens' confidence in our government.
Government watchdog groups say it all raises red flags.
Every dollar that's wasted on travel or security that's unnecessary is money that's not going to protect the health and environment for the American people.
Ethical questions have dogged other Trump cabinet secretaries. Former VA Secretary David Shulkin coming under scrutiny for an official trip to Europe that was mixed with personal activities. And Housing Secretary Dr. Ben Carson testified about spending taxpayer money on more than $30,000 for office furniture, an order he ultimately canceled.
And tonight, the EPA tells NBC News, as EPA career ethics officials stated in a memo, Administrator Pruitt's housing arrangement for both himself and family was not a gift, and the lease was consistent with federal ethics regulations. As for President Trump, he will spend the holiday weekend at Mar-a-Lago, his resort in Florida, Kate.
Kristen Welker at the White House tonight. Thank you, Kristen. And now to a long-awaited verdict today in Florida, a jury finding the wife of the Pulse nightclub gunman not guilty of charges that she helped her husband, Omar Mateen, plan the attack that killed 49 people. NBC's Kerry Sanders has those details.
Tonight, Noor Salmon leaving the courthouse without a word.
It's a great day for Ms. Salmon.
Her attorneys reacting to the not guilty verdicts.
I think she was overwhelmed. I think we were all overwhelmed.
But outside the Pulse nightclub where Salmon's husband, Omar Mateen, launched his massacre, killing 49 people, outrage from victims' families.
She knew that her husband was doing what he was doing, and shame on her.
I am in disbelief. I feel like we've been slapped in the face.
During the trial, prosecutors said this video showed Mateen about to attack Disney Springs, but was scared off by the presence of police. And they alleged Salma knew her husband's plans, that she'd been on an alleged scouting mission at the same Disney location, that she'd joined him when he shopped for ammunition. At the center of their case, her statement, an FBI agent saying she admitted her husband was preparing for jihad, Salma herself writing, "I'm sorry for what happened. I wish I'd go back and tell his family and the police what he was going to do."
We really did pursue the truth.
Defense attorneys charged that statement was coerced, that she has a low IQ, her uncle, Al Salmon.
I say that's day one, that she is innocent.
Her family saying she too is a victim betrayed by her now dead husband. Tonight expected to head back to California to reunite with her young son. Kerry Sanders, NBC News, Miami.
In Kentucky, a solemn procession of police officers today honoring an off-duty colleague who was shot and killed. The suspect was reportedly posing as a policeman when he pulled over off-duty officer Philip Meacham and opened fire, the motive unknown. The suspect escaped, stole a truck, setting off a multi-state manhunt that ended in a parking lot in Tennessee, where he was then shot and killed by police. With tensions rising between this country and Moscow, Russia tested its newest intercontinental ballistic missile. Russian officials say this missile could reach any target in the world. We get more from our chief foreign affairs correspondent, Andrea Mitchell.
A show of force from Vladimir Putin today, testing a missile launched near the Arctic Circle Moscow claims will have hypersonic speed and multiple warheads able to overcome U.S. defenses, as Putin threatened earlier this month. Warning of a new arms race, but U.S. officials say today's missile is only in the early stages of development. Still, they tracked its short flight, coming amidst a diplomatic freeze not seen since the Cold War. Today, a Russian charter jet at Dulles Airport, as boxes and crates are loaded. Moving day for Russian diplomats expelled from the U.S. Embassy in Washington and a consulate in Seattle. Punishment for the Kremlin's alleged poisoning of a former Russian spy and his daughter in England. But nearly a month after that crime, the president has talked to Putin, met with foreign leaders, visited Mar-a-Lago twice, given a campaign-style speech in Ohio.
Remember, you can't win unless you win the state of Ohio, right?
But has not said a word publicly about the attempted assassination.
You've had Russia really engaged in actively hostile measures against the United States. It needs a much tougher response, and it needs President Trump to respond personally.
The president last week even surprising aides by congratulating Putin in a call and suggesting they meet.
I suspect that we'll probably be meeting in the not-too-distant future to discuss the arms race, which is getting out of control.
But two officials telling NBC News he also told Putin, if you want to have an arms race, we can do that, but I'll win. But telling aides not to talk about his warning, so he does not appear to be caving in to critics of his friendly gestures toward the Russian leader.
And tonight, foreign policy experts saying if the U.S. really wants to get Putin's attention, it should hit him where it hurts, with economic sanctions against his cronies, the billionaire oligarchs. Kate.
Andrea Mitchell, thank you. U.S. military officials say an American and a British service member were killed in northern Syria today when their vehicles were hit by an improvised explosive device, a reminder of the danger still faced by American forces as they try to destroy ISIS. President Trump now saying American troops will leave Syria very soon. But could that allow ISIS to make a comeback? Here's our chief foreign correspondent, Richard Engel.
Just this month, General Jonathan Braga showed us the battlefields of the war on ISIS. Vast terrain liberated from ISIS control.
What are these ditches?
These are mass graves.
American commanders say the U.S.-led war in Syria killed nearly 65,000 ISIS fighters over the past 4 years.
We're on the two-yard line of finishing the physical destruction of the caliphate.
And following that progress, President Trump now effectively declaring the war over.
We'll be coming out of Syria like very soon. Let the other people take care of it now.
But here in Syria, many U.S. military commanders worry withdrawing without a plan could jeopardize everything they've accomplished. Nearly all of the ground combat has been done by these U.S.-backed Kurdish-led fighters. But they are now under attack from Turkey. If the U.S. leaves, they could be wiped out. At a graveyard for some of the 4,000 men and women who died fighting ISIS alongside U.S. forces, Delbrin Kobani, a Kurdish commander, told us the U.S. was already betraying them. Americans need to remember the sacrifices we've made, she says. We liberated this land together, and we should protect each other. And without the trust and cooperation of our allies, ISIS could make a comeback.
So I don't think we can go backwards. I don't even want to contemplate that future. That's not a world I want to live in.
Richard Engel, NBC News, Northern Syria.
And you can see much more of Richard Engel's reporting tonight at 9 Eastern on MSNBC. Still ahead for us tonight, emergency heart surgery for Arnold Schwarzenegger. We'll have an update on the actor and former California governor. Arnold Schwarzenegger is recovering tonight from open-heart surgery after a planned heart valve replacement became more complicated. The actor and former governor of California is awake and talking with doctors after undergoing a risky procedure in Los Angeles. National correspondent Miguel Almaguer has more.
After emergency open-heart surgery, Arnold Schwarzenegger is in stable condition tonight at L.A. Cedars-Sinai Hospital. The 70-year-old checked into the hospital Thursday for a heart valve replacement when a common heart procedure became high risk.
This is a very complicated procedure on a very important organ that takes a lot of skill, a lot of talent, a lot of people and equipment to do.
All right, everyone, chill.
In 1997, Schwarzenegger, the actor, elected to have surgery because of a heart defect. This week, the minimally invasive operation to replace that valve was planned. But when the option didn't work, an open-heart surgery team was ready.
That second team is a heart surgeon that can open up the heart and the chest. It's the equipment that can be used to take care of it if they need to, because if something goes wrong, like it did in this case, they only have seconds to react.
A bodybuilder turned movie star.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Before becoming California's governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger is already back in form. His spokesman says his first words after surgery,
I'll be back,
were in fact, I'm back. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Los Angeles.
When we come back, the $521 million reason you might want to stay up tonight. $500 million. That's the jackpot in tonight's Mega Millions lottery drawing. $521 million, just to be precise. It is only the fourth time in the game's history that the jackpot has surpassed the $500 million mark. No one has won the Mega Millions since January. Odds of winning, about 1 in 300 million. When we come back, Lester Holt on the real superstar of March Madness. Tomorrow night in San Antonio, Loyola will take on Michigan in the men's Final Four. But it's someone off the court who's stealing the show. And by now, she needs no introduction. Lester Holt tonight on the woman giving new meaning to team spirit.
She hasn't scored a single basket, but Sister Jean has clearly won us over. The 98-year-old team chaplain of Loyola University has captured America's hearts.
It's great for me. It's great for my congregation, for Loyola. It's great for the nation to have something fun to look at.
A broken hip hasn't slowed her down. Sister Jean prays with the team, attends practice, offers scouting reports, and even sends emails to players after every game.
Each one of them gets just a little sentence or two saying, you know, you did well, or why did you make those threes?
She played basketball herself when she was young. Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt has been at Loyola since 1991.
Sister Jean is the light of Loyola University Chicago.
The sister lives on campus, of course, in one of the dorms.
When Jean walks around the campus, she includes everybody, and you would think every student on that campus was her best friend.
She is especially beloved by her longtime friends, fellow nuns.
Her joy radiates from her. She's a lot of fun, you know, and we have a few laughs.
We've always thought of her as a star. She's always been such a leader and such an inspiration to us.
And fans can't get enough of her. There are t-shirts, socks, and even a bobblehead that's become a must-have item.
I love some of the memes that have been on social media, like the Air Jean figure where she's jumping into the air.
Well, this is the most fun I have in my life. It is. It's just so much fun for me to be here.
Sister Jean soaring beyond the court, becoming the sweetheart of March Madness.
She is a superstar. Thanks to Lester for that. That is NBC Nightly News on this Good Friday and Passover. I'm Kate Snow. For all of us here at NBC News, thanks so much for watching. Have a great weekend and good night.